is the Tom Likas Show.
Women love to say they're independent and fantastic.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Dump that bitch.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. This is where you hear us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me. And a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And joining us in studio for the bonus hour is criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, welcome.
Hey, Tom. How you doing tonight?
Doing okay. What's going on?
Well, we're going to do criminal law, but I've got to mention one thing because it happened just over the weekend. You know, they set up this whole complicated process to do a deposition of Amber Heard on her divorce with Johnny Depp.
Yes.
And she apparently was in Europe, and she was working on some things, and all the lawyers, you know, made this big compromise. The judge had to get involved. I mean, usually when you set a deposition, you just send a notice, and that's it. Here, it's a big drama, and they finally agreed to do it on a Saturday. Now, nobody likes to work on Saturday if they can avoid it, but they did this special for her, and not only did she come late, but she actually flipped out. Tom, did you hear about this?
I heard this in the news, but a lot of people probably missed that story.
Unbelievable. You know, it's amazing, and this is something that the guys have just got to open up their eyes. I mean, you're dealing with this morphing character, and it's not particularly Heard. You have to just know that this is who you're dealing with when you deal with women. First, you have this whole, you know, feminism and women are equal in every way and women can do everything that men can do. And the fact that only 10% of physicists are women is a scandal, you know, and we have to bring women up. And now that women are, you know, 70% and 80% of college grads and law school grads and medical school grads, you know, it's still not enough. So anyway, Miss Equal, I can do anything a man can do, walks in and starts to cry, Tom. Literally loses her cookies, okay? And she cries and screams and throws a little temper tantrum. And so they kind of delay. They start doing some kind of, I don't know what, negotiation or something. And then they say to her, okay, enough is enough. We're going to start the deposition. And the way they do it, they usually set up like a desk and like the camera and the person who's taking the report or the notes of what she says. That's usually in like a conference room. And she apparently will not go into the room. Will not go near the room. I mean, her lawyer's there. It's all set up. Everyone's all set up. And she just screams and cries. And I hate to tell you, Tom, but this shit works. It's amazing. I don't know. I guess the judge is probably going to fine her. I'm sure she could care less. But the reality is, I mean, you know, you're not dealing on an honest, even level with a serious enemy. I mean, whoever it is, you know, there's supposed to be certain principles of sportsmanship and fair play, especially in law cases. And, you know, she has spared no possibility of humiliating Depp and spreading terrible comments about him and that he's a spouse abuser and all this other good stuff. And when they finally say, okay, put up or shut up, she suddenly, you know, puts her hair into little pigtails and becomes a little girl and cries. And that's supposed to cover. Sickening. Really makes me sick.
Yep.
But anyway,
yes.
Since we're talking criminal law,
yes.
You know, I get. I mean, we've mentioned this briefly on the show, but I've got to talk about this. It is illegal for me as an attorney to advise my clients or people how to break the law. Okay, and so that's not what I'm here to do. But there are certain things that are going on that I gotta say are too much now. With respect to solicitation, Tom, we got to talk about solicitation. You know, there are certainly the arguments to be made, and you've certainly made them, Tom, that you shouldn't pay for sex because, you know, there's a lot of free sex out there, and you just got to, you know, build up your game a little bit and you know, get it that way.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, you know, women definitely are a pain in the ass, but they're surprisingly willing, and it's not that difficult, theoretically speaking. Any idiot can get laid. On the other hand, if you look at marriage, and I've talked to a lot of guys about this, any guy that was married for, let's say, 5 years and ended up paying half a house and a pile of alimony, if you divide it up, he might have paid $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 each time they had sex, Tom. It wasn't that often.
Wow.
It's only a couple times
no
a month.
No pussy,
you know,
is worth that.
Not really. It certainly, you know, when you talk about how marriage is a bad deal financially and guys say, yeah, but she cleans the place. Well, you can get a housekeeper. It doesn't pay very much on the sexual side of it either. But there are certain things that guys have just got to realize, and I'm getting so many calls, and I got a call today of a guy who just got arrested for, you know, solicitation, and it's just so distressing. I've got to clear the air about this. Now, especially if you live in the west of America, in like California, or certainly if you live in Nevada, you know, there is certainly a whole part of Nevada, not Las Vegas, but everywhere else, where prostitution is actually legal. And so I certainly recommend you to go there, to legal places. When you talk about having proximity to Mexico, it seems to be fairly accepted in Mexico. Maybe it's even legal, I'm not sure, but it's certainly tolerated to a large degree. But you guys have got to open your eyes into the circumstances and the realities of what's going on, you know, in the rest of the country. And the United States, in a lot of ways, is a very puritanical country. If you look at the European countries, Germany, I mean, we're talking Western countries, Denmark, I mean, prostitution is legal. And there are actually places, and they're designated, and the people have licenses. And that's certainly true in Central America, South America, Asia, and elsewhere. But it certainly is illegal in the United States. And what people don't necessarily realize is I think it could have a terrible effect. You know, if you have any kind of a marriage, so you're cheating, or a girlfriend, and certainly on your job, and if you have a security clearance or you have bonding, like you work at a bank or something, getting a conviction, you know, is horrible anyway, DUI or something, but getting one for solicitation and prostitution, I mean, that is bad. That is really bad. I think that's something humiliating. That is something you do not want to have to explain to a potential employer when they do a background check on you. And, you know, I understand how, you know, you guys get lonely or whatever, but you got to be smart about this. Now, one of the classic things that I've always remembered seeing on these reality shows, typically when I was growing up on, like, HBO, is they would do these undercover stings. And the guy would, you know, kind of pull up to a chick on the side of the road in, like, Manhattan or something. And he would say, you know, how much or whatever. And then the police would immediately come and arrest the guy. And he would be screaming, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. Like, he really felt like, you know, his pants were still on, you know. But here he is getting arrested. Right, Tom? That doesn't seem fair.
No. Well, of course not.
The reality is we have a First Amendment, of course, and you have the right to free speech and everything, but the way solicitation works is the agreement itself is a crime. So when you speak to this woman who you think is a prostitute, who is actually probably an undercover police officer, or if she is a prostitute, you know, and they're recording it somehow with a microphone or something. They have these directional, highly directional microphones that can pick up anything from, like, distances. But the point is when you say to the woman, I want a blowjob, and she says, you know, that'll be $20, and you say, okay, I'll pay $20, you've already committed the crime of solicitation. Right? Tom, you know that, right? Come on, help me here.
Of course. Yes. Well, I'm not a lawyer.
No, I know, but doesn't it seem crazy?
Well, it is crazy. Well, here's the thing, and as I have said so many times, you know, if you are Donald Trump, and you want to clearly marry someone who gives every impression of being a gold digger, and you can give her all, you can give her a complete makeover, you can give her all the money you want, and you can walk around going, hey, look at this, look how great I did. That's perfectly okay. I don't see how that is different from prostitution, but...
It is some kind of prostitution.
To me, that's prostitution. Sure it is. How about all these sugar baby websites? Sugar daddy
right.
websites.
Well, I was just going to get to those.
Yeah. All right. Go for it.
By the way, Tom, I don't know if you saw this, but everyone's kind of paying attention to Brazil.
Yeah.
And the president of Brazil is this woman that's she's like a hardcore socialist, and she's been taken out on corruption charges.
She's suspended. She's not even permanently taken out.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
And because she's a socialist and she cares about the average people so much, she apparently embezzled every dime she could and was as corrupt as possible. She's been replaced by this 77-year-old poet guy.
Right.
Whose wife is 30.
Right.
You got to love that.
Well, of course.
But that's not prostitution.
That's not prostitution.
Certainly,
no,
it's not. It's not when Trump does it either, or his
right.
or his ilk.
Exactly.
Well, so this is another one of these crimes where, as we see, if you do it on a high level, you're okay, and it's all terrific. But if you do it on the lowest level, and this is what I've got to stress to guys, the talking part is what counts, not the sex part.
Right.
And people don't understand that. I've had guys that told me. That they really seriously were not going to go through with it. That they just were just wasting time and they were tired and they were just talking to the girl and they were just going to say, oh yeah, whatever, and drive off. But by talking to her, as I've said, they were arrested and they're being charged with solicitation because that's really all it takes.
Right.
Now, when you look at the levels of this, and this is exactly what you were just talking about with these sugar baby whatever websites. The first thing I got to say to guys is that you just don't do this in the street. You mustn't do it in the street. This thing where there's girls walking around and I've seen in like some seedy parts of town and you pull up and you start talking to her and she gets in your car, you're out of your mind. Don't
right.
do that. And what ends up happening with those encounters a lot of the time is you pull up somewhere and you're in front of someone's house or something, you know, or an apartment building and, you know, maybe dark, but, you know, people are going to call the cops. The cops are able to see you, what they call in plain sight, where they can see through the windows of your car or whatever. So they don't need a warrant. They don't have to do anything. You are not going to have a good experience. It's going to end up being a night in jail and then facing this, what I think is a very upsetting offense. To have to deal with. And we talked about this a lot. You know, it's not pleasant. I had people charged all kinds of things. But to be charged with sexual-related crimes, I think in particular, are really going to mess you up. And that's something that you really don't want to have to start talking about, you know, what you said and you know, your what you did with her. And I mean, just that's dumb. Now, when you look online, and this is the great thing, you know, remember there used to be these really seedy newspapers? Your dad used to come home with Screw Magazine, right?
Right.
Remember that?
Right. And here in L.A., we have, like, the L.A. Express, which I believe
Ooh.
Still exists.
All right. I was thinking more like the Village Voice or something like that, you know?
Oh. Well, the Village Voice, you know, was succeeded by magazines or newspapers like
yeah.
Screw.
Oh, there you go.
So, and like L.A. Weekly, I don't see a lot of alcohol ads in the L.A.
Oh,
Weekly
yeah.
or O.C. Weekly.
Well, advertising has also really changed. The whole journalism reality is a lot different, and it's
yeah.
all gone to the internet. And, you know, in general, it's probably a really good idea, what Tom was talking about, to look at the sugar baby websites, which I think are a lot of girls, basically, that just want to have sex for money.
Nice.
There's something called the erotic review, where guys actually give ratings to girls, and that's probably a good idea to check something like that. Because you can see different girls in different places, you know, find someone in your area and see how other guys have liked her or not liked her. That also shows that it's not a cop, that it's legit, you know, not legit is not the right word, but she's as legit as she can be.
Right.
That you're able to actually go see this person. You go see her at, you know, an apartment or something, her place. You meet her in a hotel. I think that that is going to take a lot of the risk factor away. And the girls, you know, we shouldn't be completely one-sided about this. I've represented a number of prostitutes or women that were accused of prostitution who were charged with it. You know, they don't want to get arrested either. And so a woman who will get directly into the conversation with you about money is very suspicious. A lot of times when you go see these girls, they'll say, you know, these are the ones that you pick up online or whatever, and they'll say, I want X number of dollars for a donation. Or you know, I'll give you a great service, or I'll give you a massage or whatever. It's, you know, that is a very a good indication that she is, you know, actually what she claims to be. If a woman starts saying to you, how much are you going to give me for sex? Are you paying me for sex? Are you paying me $200 for sex or whatever? If you get into a conversation like that, that's the solicitation conversation. And the whole money for sex conversation is something that you want to avoid at all costs. And anyone who is pressing that conversation too much, something's wrong, and that's something that you should just hang up and avoid. You know, generally speaking, if you look at what they call, you know, victimless crimes and whatnot, there is an idea, and this is on different levels. You know, there's the basic extremist thinking, which is that all sex is rape. So anytime a woman has sex, even if she thinks she wants to, she's engaging in false consciousness, and so therefore she's being raped, even if she's married to the guy. That's economic rape or whatever. But the idea of a prostitute who actually wants to sell herself in this way, you know, this is something that has existed back to biblical times, and they call it the world's oldest profession or whatever. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's a great thing. A lot of these women probably have been molested or they've had bad things happen to them or they're desperate. You'd have to think that most women probably would not want to do this as a job, that they've been forced into it in some way. But on the other hand, particularly when I've seen the legal ones and they've interviewed the girls in Nevada who are at these brothels, and they end up, you know, if they're smart, retiring very young with, you know, a lot of money put away. And I actually saw where they were saying, I like doing this. This is fun, you know. I like, you know, getting guys turned on and making money and, you know, it's a big ego trip or whatever. So, you know, theoretically speaking, this is something that, you know, if you can deal with the moral issue, it's something that you have to do carefully if you're going to do it at all. And when I talk to these guys, and this is why I have to talk about this on the show, you know, who the guys are telling me it was late at night, and I was really drunk, and I don't remember what I said, and I picked her up on the side of the road in front of this hospital or something. It's like, man, you're out of your mind. Of course you got arrested. And, you know, I just feel bad. I see another side of this because of my work, where you see, as a lawyer, how disruptive these kinds of things are to people's lives. And, you know, there are some people that, you know, have something happen to them, legally speaking, where they get arrested, they get charged with a crime, and, you know, they never really recover from it. You know, they end up having a loss of their job, they have the loss of the family connections, they get divorced, they lose custody of their children. They end up in a lot of drama, you know, flowing from that original mistake, which wasn't that big a deal. And here they are 5 years later and 10 years later, and they're still not really quite, you know, where they were before. And, you know, I help them get it expunged or try to help them deal with some of the consequences. But I think, you know, it's always better to do prevention rather than to try to find a cure. And so, I'm with Tom. I think it's absolutely right that, you know, you should meet people organically. I think it's nice to have some kind of a connection to someone that you have sex with. I don't think you should be engaging just in transactions or whatever. But if you're, you know, looking for this kind of thing, or if you're on a business trip and you're by yourself or whatever, you want to do it in a smart way, which is, like I said, looking online, meeting privately, not talking about it in the sense of sex for money, and having it be as safe as possible where you're pretty sure that the person you're going to see is not looking to have you locked up. And the whole idea that we have today of cleaning up neighborhoods and protecting neighborhoods, when you talk about that, and that goes back to New York with Mayor Giuliani, who cleaned up New York, you know, and everyone was very happy about it, this is what they talk about, that the police have to concentrate on petty crime. And so the cops are very, very emphasized on dealing with the low-level stuff, and the people that are selling drugs on the corner, people that are picking up whores on the corner. And that's why, as Tom said, if you're a rich guy and you're marrying a gold digger from Eastern Europe, you're A-OK. But if you're Joe Sixpack and you're drunk and you start talking to some slut on the side of the street, she's going to turn out to be a policewoman. And your little comment to her, hey, baby, I've only got 50. How about a hand job? That's going to get you locked up. And that's stupid. So be careful and don't compromise yourself that way. Try to be smart and try to think about it. Even when you're talking about sex and you're not thinking 100%, think about the possibility of what could happen and do it in a way that you're not going to get busted.
What happens to you when you're busted for prostitution?
Shut up.
Or when you're busted for solicitation. No, I understand we should all shut up. But, I mean, we've talked so many times about what happens when you get a DUI, for example.
Right, of course.
Now, what is the procedure? What happens if you get arrested for soliciting?
It's not honestly that different, you know. What's interesting in that couple of instances, and we talked about this before, too, you'd be surprised at how much discretion the cops have. Okay, you know, if the cop, if you're reasonable with him, and we've talked about this, you don't be a dick, you don't have to talk to the police, but if you're just respectful, the cop can write you up a ticket, which will be for a court date, and let you go. Seriously, that happens to a lot of people. Here's your court appearance, you sign that you're going to appear, and that's it. And cops will do that. And if you're reasonable and you act rationally, you don't have to talk about what happened. You just tell the cop, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so tired. You know, can I just go home? The cop will write it and you can go. If you're stupid and if the cop wants to really fuck with you, he can certainly tow your car, arrest you. You spend, you know, a night or two in jail until the next court day. God help you, it's a Friday night. You know, you have to be in the whole weekend until Monday morning.
Right.
Generally speaking, because it's a misdemeanor, and particularly in the big cities like L.A., San Diego, and San Francisco, things like that, the jails are pretty overcrowded. You're going to probably be released, what's called on OR, your own recognizance, which means you don't have to post a bond or whatever. That would be unusual unless you have a lot of other arrests or whatever. If you're just, you know, Joe Average citizen and you have some connection to the area, then you'll be given this release and you'll have to show up to your court dates. You definitely need to hire a lawyer and I'd be happy to help you. But, I mean, as much as it might reduce my business, I guess, I'd rather this didn't happen to you. And that's why I'm talking about being aware of this. Now, it also relates to everything we talked about in the DUI. You don't want to talk to the police. You don't want to make a statement. You don't want to get involved. And you'd be amazed at how structurally things can go differently if the police really take a dislike to you. And a lot of that has to do with your attitude. Now, remember, you don't have to confess and you don't have to talk to them about the case or anything, but you also want to be respectful. You know, a lot of guys curse at the police, and that's a stupid thing to do because ultimately they have the rights not only to tow your car away, but if your car is considered an instrumentality of the crime, they can seize the car from you and sell it. I don't know if you know that, Tom. That's a bad experience.
Now, I have another question for you about this, and that would be regarding the laws we have for people who molest or people who commit sexual assault.
Yes, of course.
Do you also have to be on a list? Do you have to report in the future after you've been convicted?
Oh, Tom, it's so much worse than you can imagine. There are some of these organizations that are like the frickin' morality police today. And this is unbelievable. I mean, this is not something that's happened a lot in California. I think because of just the volume of it. But there have been a lot of cases I've seen from places like Tennessee and that kind of stuff where they you know, because it's public information, they take the arrest picture, the mugshot, and the person's name, and they put it on, like, milk cartons, or they put it in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine how humiliating that would be? Where I saw, you know, like, on the bus stop, and there's, like, the card where they put advertising.
Right.
And they have the pictures of, like, 9 different guys with their names.
Right.
And they say, you know, these are the sex offenders, or these are the guys that have just been arrested for prostitution-related offenses or whatever. And this is meant to shame you, you know, to humiliate you, not to ever think of doing that kind of thing. it's fascinating how you consider how different our society is, where we arrest a guy and we shame him for going to see a prostitute, whereas in other societies, it's considered totally normal and it's legal, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. You know, it's weird when you think of people at one time, you were talking about marijuana before. I remember people that spent 10 years in jail for, you know, having possession of marijuana.
Right.
Or selling marijuana.
Right.
And now, you know, a couple of years later, here we are, you can buy it in a store and it's no big deal. And if you think about it, it really goes against the realities of life. I mean, the truth of the matter is that, you know, there are a certain amount of guys who, you know, just would like to pay for sex. And there are women that are willing to provide that, but, you know, in terms of being paid for it. And so that seems like a natural thing, that it's not going to be something that you can prevent with legislation. I mean, in a way, we talk about these shaming things, but I wonder if that ever really stops anyone from doing it. I mean, it ruin your life, but on the other hand, how did it help society?
Right. And again, this is it goes back to what I've talked about with drugs and everything else.
Absolutely.
You know, all these vice laws, gambling, prostitution, drugs, you know, you would think we have advanced far enough that we can take the police off this beat and put them back doing the things we really need the police to be doing. It is a total waste of time and taxpayer money to be chasing down people who are into prostitution. And, you know, all the talk about prostitutes being victims, sexual assault victims, of slavery, whatever. If prostitution were legal, that wouldn't exist.
Right. They could get medically checked like they do in Nevada.
Right.
They could have licensing. I saw the show once, Tom. They were showing these brothels in Nevada, and they had investment counselors from, like, you know, the big investment banks,
yeah,
coming to the brothel, you know, during the day when it was like, you know, there wasn't that many customers or whatever.
Yeah.
And the girls were sitting there and they were, you know, setting up IRAs and
right.
stock accounts.
Right.
And, you know, and they were getting checked for, you know, HIV, and then their health was being examined. I mean, that makes so much more sense than, you know, putting it underground. I mean, it's just very, very strange.
Well, you're making it open to pimps. You're making it open to organized
Absolutely.
Crime. You're making it open to people who enslave people from around the world. You know, I think it's more important that we look at things like people's human rights. And also, let's look at their property rights. You know, your sexuality. Who is the government to say that that is not something you can sell? You can certainly be a model and sell your sexuality. You can certainly, whether you're a clothes model or whether you're another kind of model, a hand model even. You're using your body and your sexuality and you're selling
right.
that. People who are in sexy movies are selling their sexuality.
Well, you think about like X-rated movies.
Right.
They're literally having sex for money.
Right. And if I want to take someone out to dinner tonight at the most expensive restaurant in town, spend $3,000
right.
on dinner and wine, and then have sex with them, that's perfectly okay, as long as I don't say, all right, now I'm going to buy you dinner, but after that, you're going to fuck me. It's perfectly okay, and it's understood that if you take someone out to a $3,000 dinner, they better have a spare pair of panties, because that's what's going to end up happening tonight, you know.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to me how we can sell our sexuality in any number of ways, or we can buy someone else's in any number of ways, but not this one.
Well, the trophy wives, I think, are at the top of the list, Tom.
Right. Top of my list.
Well, what you're seeing with someone like Donald Trump, of course, you know, that's something that's like much more extreme. And obviously, if you're a billionaire or whatever
right.
he is, you have a lot more selection, I suppose, at
yeah.
that level. But, I mean, that exists on many different levels in our society. There's no doubt about it. And you certainly see with these, especially I think when it comes to some of the real age disparities, where this 22-year-old girl falls madly in love with a guy who's 50, you know, to really wonder, you know, what the basis of that was, you know.
Right.
And he may not have been a billionaire, but maybe he had a house or something, you know, might have been a lower standard.
Right. Well, that's why I tell the guys, never even let them in your house. Don't even let them in.
Well, there's no guarantee that he's going to help you be first lady, you know?
No, exactly right. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. We got calls for Adam. Adam Sachs is here as criminal defense attorney. Adam Sachs, if you have legal questions, now is your time to get free legal answers from Adam. And all you have to do is call this number, 901 901- 3000 Tom. 901-3000 Tom. That's the number. It's 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. And here we are in a bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs and your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's our number, 901-3000-866. Jim in Fresno, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Adam, Tom?
Hey, great. Jim.
You know, I just wanted to, I've been listening since you've been back, anyway, I just wanted to pipe in on this, listening to what Adam says. And, you know, he always says to shut up and just to go with the program. A couple years ago, I was coming out of the mountains, and it was about 11 o'clock at night, a little later than that. And it was a two-lane road, and I was following a Honda Accord, and I'm driving in a Corvette. And we're doing, you know, 55, and then all of a sudden the road opens up into a four-lane. And two lanes going each way, and I just blew by this Honda and, you know, just dropped a gear, and next thing I know, I'm doing 85, and I mean, just very quickly, and on the side of the road, sitting in the dark, was a highway patrol.
Uh-huh.
So I blew on by him and just, you know, let off the gas, and out he comes, and, you know, down to 75 I go, down to 65 I go.
No radar detector, you know, right? Now,
yeah, well, I mean, he already got me. I mean, I was, you know, 30 miles an hour over, and so he lights me up, and, you know, it's dark, and the lights are bright, and, you know, it's like I wear glasses at night, and you know, so he's sitting behind me for, you know, 5 minutes and whatever. Next thing you know, he comes up on the side, and I roll down the window, and he's, you know, he asks for, driver's license, registration, and so forth on the car, and insurance, and you know, asked me, you know, where are you coming from? Where are you going? Told him, and he said, you know, I clocked you at 85.
Wow.
And, you know, I didn't say anything. He asked me if I'd been drinking. I said no.
So you remember, that's their real focus.
Right.
They're trying
to
get drunk drivers.
Yeah, and so he's, you know, flashes lights at me. He's looking at me, and he says, you sure you haven't been drinking? I said, no. And I had a beer maybe, you know, maybe 5 hours earlier, 6 o'clock, 6:30 type of thing.
That's nothing.
But, you know, I know if I would have said yes, I would have been out of the car,
right,
whatever. So so he goes back to the car, and then a few minutes go by, and another officer gets out and walks around the front of the car. And, you know, those cars come without a front license plate. And so then he goes back, and then the guy comes back another 5 minutes later and says that you know, starts talking to me about speed and says that, you know, I'm going to give you a warning.
All right.
For the speed.
All right.
And but I'm going to write you up for no front license plate.
Oh, that's nothing. That's fixable. That's easy.
But anyway, so I was in shock, quite honestly. And,
well, let me ask you. This is important, okay? What do you think contributed to them doing that? Did you apologize?
No, I didn't say anything. I shut up.
Right.
I mean, he was, you know, I sat there. He's, you know, I clocked you at 85. You know, I think he had a thing for the car because he knew the car, and he said something about, well, you probably dropped in a gear, you know, from sixth to fifth, and it was like, actually, I went from fourth to third, so okay. I didn't tell him that. But
I like,
you know,
when they,
he,
I like when they say to you, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? You know. Because that's to get you to sort of confess, you know?
I didn't say anything. He was pretty much, I was ready to go, and he asked me a question. I answered, and I didn't, you know, make excuse. I didn't say anything. I mean, I just shut up. I keep thinking of you.
Right.
Shut up, shut up, shut up. And, you know, and I did. And I was, you know, I mean, I was in shock that he, you know, that he was, you know, he gave me the pass. And he said, you're going to have to show up for Superior Court in the mountains where I was at. And you know, I ended up calling the Superior Court up there and asking when's a good time, and talked to the gal there. And she goes, well, you know, if you just send me up the ticket with the sign off on it, I'll go ahead and, you know, process it. You don't even have to come up. And it was all taken care of that easily. But anyway, I owe that to you and the show and just guys listening to what he's saying.
Right.
Nice.
Right. I think that's a great outcome. As I've said 100 times, I mean, the police have a lot of discretion. And as you saw, a lot of times, especially late at night or in the weekend kind of thing, they're doing drunk driving patrols. That's important to them. And they will, you know, say to you, are you drinking? Were you drinking? And you had one beer 5 hours before. That's nothing. But once they got past that and you had this license plate, whatever, that's something that you can fix. It's just a mechanical issue. He says, hey, you know what? You're a good kid. I'm going to let you off with a warning and you go on your way. Now, it pays to keep your mouth shut and it pays not to argue, right? So there's the proof one more time.
Thank you so much, Jim, for the call. 901-3000, Tom. Here comes Roderick in Winnetka, California. Roderick, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Tom, Adam, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Question, Adam. You mentioned the prostitution things. So how about the massage parlors? I mean, how legally safe is that? I mean, they go in, you get a great massage. They point at your dick. They said, you're going to give me a tip. You shake, you nod your head, yes. They give you a hand job. And they get their mouth shut the whole time.
Right.
You're released and you feel good. I mean, how risky is that?
Right. That's an interesting question. Again, I relate to what I was saying about checking in the online
reviews.
Stuff. Yeah. I mean, there are different kinds of places.
Are they in Yelp? Probably.
I don't know.
Rub Maps. I think they're in Rub Maps.
Well, I mean, there's like, I guess if you talk about like a massage place that's doing acupuncture, or they're associated with like a chiropractor's office or something like that, you know? I think that's probably much more likely to be, you know, a quote-unquote legit massage, you know?
Right.
And I don't know exactly what they're doing or whatever, but, you know, broadly speaking, when you go to one of these other kinds of places or, you know, like that maybe advertises online or whatever, sensual massage, you know, if she's giving you the rub down, and especially if you've read the review, let's say, on that website I mentioned, the erotic review,
right.
Then you know that this is, you know, part of it or whatever. And this is something that, you know, if she points to your dick and you say okay or whatever, I think you're all right. I really do. I mean, remember, the real issue of the legality is sex for money. And that's something that needs to be discussed, okay?
Right.
Sex for money. So when you're
talking... So you didn't pay for sex. You pay for a massage.
Well, I understand. But yes, that's right. And, you know, you're in the position... Don't forget, if you're on the table... And she starts, you know, doing something, you know, if the cops come bursting in, you can say, you know, I can't believe she did that. I didn't expect that. I paid $100 for a legitimate massage and suddenly she starts going at me. I couldn't believe it. I was frozen. I didn't know what to do, you know?
Right. That makes perfect sense.
What's going to kill you, again, remember this, is very, very important. What's going to kill you is the words. Words.
Right.
Okay. $50 for the blowjob. You know, you cannot get into a conversation like that. That's solicitation.
I understand.
So I think the what they call the happy ending massage, you know, might be all right.
Yeah.
Just got to play it cool.
Right. Sounds good. Another quick question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Touching on the gun laws again, because you were talking about that a couple of weeks back. Let's say you have, you're a complete good citizen, no priors. You have an active teaching credential. And you have to go for whatever reason somewhere late at night that you couldn't help, and you got carry a concealed weapon without a permit. Is that a big, big problem, or is it like a wall that can become?
You know, concealed weapons are a big issue. It's in some states you actually can carry a gun on like a holster on your belt, you know?
Right.
And it's not concealed. It's open carry.
Right.
And, you know, there were times in the, you know, kind of the early days of the Black Panthers, you know, these guys would walk around with, like, shotguns. And that was considered okay to do to some degree.
I think Reagan changed those laws back in the 80s.
Exactly. Even before that. But the thing is, when you have a handgun in particular, to conceal it, which is to wear it, like, on your foot or whatever or under your clothes, you need to have a permit to do that. And so the smart thing to do, broadly speaking, you know, if you're going to be traveling and you don't have a concealed weapons permit, you have your gun in a safe, which is in one of these, like a gun safe, which is a little kind of small container with a combination, and you can keep that in the car on like the floor of the passenger seat, and your gun is in there. And if you need it, you open it and you can use the gun. And if there was any issue, you say, well, I was, you know, driving home with it, or I was driving to the range, or I was going to go to the range tomorrow. So then you're okay, you see, because you were carrying the gun in a box, not on your person. You follow me?
All right, so good luck. Thank you for that. Appreciate it, Roderick. Let's say hi to Darren in Los Angeles. Darren, you're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hey, Tom, Adam, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Darren, what's up?
Not too much. I just heard your topic of discussion, and I've seen, you know, episodes of Cops and all that, what they said at the scene and
always,
all that.
There's always
stuff.
A guy with no shirt on, always.
yeah, exactly. But this is one of the questions that I had. Number one, when the lady cop offers or merely suggests, is that not entrapment?
You know, that's the problem, right? It is entrapment. See, entrapment, theoretically speaking, is when the police create a crime that wouldn't have existed in the first place if they hadn't
exactly.
created it, okay?
Yeah.
So by putting this girl on the side of the road that's actually a policewoman, right, undercover, and
uh-huh.
then, you know, you and she start speaking. In fact, maybe she starts the conversation. That's the joke.
Yeah. Well, she's got to get it started some kind of way because she's trying to get a collar.
Well, theoretically, you're pulling over to her. But let's say you weren't. Let's say you were just walking down the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been on streets where women start saying things to me. I don't know what the hell they're, you know, hey man, you want a date, you know? So
yeah.
Isn't she starting the conversation, therefore creating a crime that didn't exist in the first place?
I do believe so. She initiated the conversation.
I couldn't agree more. But
the way it
works, and again, because of the frickin' morality police, and don't forget the United States, you got to remember the United States was founded by the Puritans. You know that,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if you look at who
the
landed.
Quakers.
Well, yeah, the Quakers are later, but okay. But if you look at who landed in Plymouth Rock, they were Puritans. And we still have a lot of that religiosity, and we're going to save you from yourself. You know, we're going to ban alcohol.
Yeah.
We're going to ban marijuana. We're going to ban drugs. We're going to protect you. Look at how much effort they put in to preventing people from getting prescription drugs or from getting like painkillers, things like that. I've been in other countries. I've been in, like, Hong Kong. Those things are available without prescriptions over the counter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's no big deal. You go to a pharmacy, they give you whatever you want. You don't need a prescription. Ridiculous.
You just ask and you shall receive.
Of course. But so when you think about when you think about this thing, and again, this is the conversation, you know, the idea of somehow ridding the neighborhood of that underbelly or whatever, that's considered to be a righteous thing to do. And so for this police to set you up and for you to walk up and say to her, you know, I want you to do this for me for X number of dollars or whatever, you suddenly become the biggest piece of shit that ever lived. And you deserve to go to jail. And you deserve to have your life ruined and lose your job, lose your security clearance, have your wife leave you, lose your children. I mean, that's the least of what we can do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's out of proportion. It's sick.
All right, Darren, thank you. 901-3000. Tom, look at these phone calls coming in here.
They love us, Tom.
These guys are out on the street looking for trouble. Let's say hi here to Jeff. Jeff is in Santan, Arizona. Jeff, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Tom? How's it going, Adam?
Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much, man. Actually, I called you last week about getting a stop for solicitation, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean on the show, you mean, or personally?
No, I called you guys on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still sweating to see if I get a subpoena in the mail for that long form.
Oh,
thing.
Right. Okay, I remember. Yeah, that's right. So you were kind of the different kind that we were talking about. I was talking about some of the guys getting arrested and taken to the police station, other guys getting a ticket. Yours was more that they wrote it all down and just let you go home. So yours is kind of up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't see him write anything down. I don't know. I don't know if he's just full of crap or not. I hope he's just full of crap. But I actually called because I've been stopped probably at least a dozen times since I've been driving, and I've only gotten one ticket. I get warnings all the time.
Really? How do you do that? What's your strategy?
Well, you know, I usually say officer, or I say sir.
Right.
And
show respect. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I just treat them like anybody else. I mean, sometimes let me shake my hand and just say, you know, go one way. They just check your license and make sure your registration's current. I mean, I've literally just had two glasses of wine, get in my car, then I get pulled over for speeding, and I've literally driven on the 101 in Scottsdale 3 or 4 miles before I even get off the freeway. And then I get off the freeway and go to a well-lit up, like, you know, car dealership, and he's like, you know, you got your expired tags. It was a new car.
Oh, God.
And he got speeding, and he got this, and he gave me a warning. Yeah, he just gave me a warning. I just drove on my merry way.
Like I said, I think a lot of it is attitude. You know, I think police get treated really badly all day long. They got a large element of the public who's cursing at them and yelling at them and saying stupid things to them. And if you're just polite and you say, yes, sir, yes, officer, you know, not being an asshole, just saying, okay, oh, really? Is my thing expired? I can't believe it. I'll get it taken care of tomorrow. I mean, to them, that's like, oh, wow, this guy's a human being. I can't believe it, you know?
Yeah, and the best part is I grew up in Dublin, California, which is one of the whitest cities probably in the country. And I'm a dark black man.
Really?
And I've never had an issue.
So you don't think that this thing they talk about, that, you know, driving while black or whatever, do you think that that's a factor in life?
I think it's a factor of why I might have got stopped. But then I think once they look at me, they see me like in nice clothes and, you know, fairly well educated.
Did you see that there was a whole thing, they did this in the movie about O.J. Simpson. They showed Johnny Cochran. And he's obviously a famous lawyer at the time, and he was driving a Rolls Royce, you know? And he got pulled over by some cop who got all nasty with him, you know? And that was supposed to be, you know, the sort of the experience of the black man. Like, no matter how successful he is, he still gets hassled by the cops or gets pulled over more than a white person would.
I mean, it does happen. I have friends that happen too, but for some reason, you know, I get stopped, but, you know, I just don't get tickets.
That's good.
And I've never had a flashy car either. I mean,
oh, okay.
I was just regular car. I had like a Honda Accord. You know, like,
you think the car itself might make a difference?
I think the car itself, and if you have like, you're bumping music really loud, especially like in a richer neighborhood.
Did you ever see Chris Rock had a whole thing about that? If you're playing Fuck the Police when you get pulled over by the police, you know, that's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, but it's probably a dumb luck, actually. But I've always lived in like white communities, even when I bought homes.
Really?
I mean, he's like the only black guy there, maybe one of like, you know, two out of like 100. And I've always lived in a community where there's a cop within like half a mile that actually lives in the community.
Right.
I never meet them. They don't know me, but I see their like cop car in their driveway.
Right, right. I like that. That's good. Tom, that makes me feel better about society, right?
Well, there you go. Jeff, thank you. 901-3000, Tom. Yusef in Ontario. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Dad! What's up, Adam?
Hey, Yusef, what's up?
I just had a question. My only question is, if the cops actually, like, say they see you, you had no conversation about solicitation with the girl, right?
Right.
But the girl's in your car. And like, say they know her, they don't. Either way,
right.
But if they see you with the girl in your car, and I'm not stupid, so I'm not gonna fuck the girl in my car. but I'm gonna take her to my place or wherever.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I'm not gonna do it in the car. But say they see me driving with her, can they actually like get you for that? Like,
yeah,
even if you say like, oh, it's just my friend or whatever.
Very problematic. No, I'm with you. I understand. You know that's what happened to the celebrity Hugh Grant. The cop did not see, it wasn't a policewoman, it was a real prostitute, and the cop did not have a recording of any conversation, but the cop actually saw the sex act. I mean, he was literally doing it with her on the side of the road. Now, I don't know if you pick up a...
No, I'm not talking about having sex
I'm with you.
The car.
I don't know if it's
I'm
a good
saying,
idea
like, driving
to...
with her.
I understand. I don't know if it's a good idea to take a street whore back to your place or whatever. That's not a very brilliant idea. But I can tell you this. If she's known to the police as a prostitute and you're in an area which is known to have, you know, some kind of prostitution going on, you can be arrested for that. And I can probably win it for you later on. But again, that's the same problem. Now, you're still talking about picking up a woman in the street, right?
I'm just talking about, yeah, like if they just see her, so they can actually like arrest you from just seeing her.
Well,
in
not
the car,
just seeing
and, like,
her, but if you're okay, you're in the car with her and she's a known prostitute, right?
Say she is, yeah. Worst case scenario.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
All right, so listen, shit. We gotta get you a laptop, okay? They're not expensive anymore. And you know, you gotta do what I said. Go online and find her there. Don't do it in the street. That's like, I think that's probably the best advice I've given tonight.
Now, don't cops patrol those websites too?
They do. I
so
think
I'm saying,
that's
dude,
true.
The backpage.com, I've heard that some of those girls are cops trying to set you up.
Yes,
and you come
I
to the hotel
true.
Where they're at and they get you.
I definitely agree. I've had a couple of guys get arrested in ways like that, where the girl was running out of a hotel room and the police were like in the next hotel room next to hers. And she was also a policewoman. That's why I recommend that review site. If a woman is on there and she's got some reviews, then you know she must be legit. Seriously, the guys have been seeing her for the past 6 months and they're saying how great she is. That's very unlikely to be a setup. And again, even if you were in the hotel room and it was a policewoman, you do not engage in that conversation. That's the problem. You come in and you do not get into this conversation with her. If she starts saying to you, you know, X number of dollars for X sex act, you say, forget it, I'm leaving, goodbye. You know, that's your biggest indication right there. And believe me, the police are listening to me saying this right now. This is pissing them off because they are trying to get you into this, you know. What was holy shit?
All right.
You okay?
Oh, man. God
What's the matter? What's the matter? I'm telling you how to save yourself.
I mean,
don't be upset.
If they just see me with the girl in the car and just driving, like I'm arrested, that sucks.
All right. Well, don't do it.
So don't do it.
Go online. Laptop is $99 nowadays, okay?
Don't do it. Alex is in the San Fernando Valley. Alex, say hi to Adam Sachs.
What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Hey. How can I help you?
Well, I have a thing going on tomorrow. I have a court date. It's my final court date.
For what?
For a sex crime, and I'm sentenced to jail for up to 6 months.
What? What do you mean? What, tomorrow? That's it? You've already been sentenced? What happened? I don't understand.
No, tomorrow is the last court date. I guess we're going to wear the lawyer I have.
You're taking a plea?
Yeah.
What kind of sex crime? What happened?
It was with a minor.
Oh, man. You had sex with a child?
No. She was, she was 15.
You didn't know?
No. At the beginning, no, I did not know.
Okay. I mean, is she like the daughter of your girlfriend or something? Or who's this girl? She's your neighbor?
No, the weird part is I met her from an app.
Really?
Application.
She told you she was older?
Yeah, it's Tinder. I don't know if you know about it. It's an 18 and older app.
Yeah, we've seen Tinder.
Yeah.
And so you just went on some dates with her and you thought she was a regular girlfriend, just older than 18 and all?
Yeah. I mean, that's what her profile said. It said 20.
All right. Well, I don't know what your lawyer's doing. Is your lawyer any good? You happy with him? Is it a public defender? Please say no.
I'm not sure.
Well, you would know. Have you gotten an invoice from your attorney?
Did you hire him or did they give him to you?
Oh, I hired him.
Okay, so then you have a private
lawyer. So you paid
him. Okay. Does he seem to know what he's doing?
He seems to know. He said he's very familiar with that court, but...
Okay.
It's just...
Well, let me just say, I mean, it's not pleasant to go to jail. I don't know if you're getting sentenced to 6 months. It's very unlikely that you'll serve 6 months, okay? You'll probably be out in a fraction of that because the jails are overcrowded. And it's not nice to be a sex offender, but having sex with a child, even if she lied to you, is a very serious offense. Okay? So you might be getting off easy. I'm not sure what the story is. If you want, I mean, I don't want to second-guess another lawyer, but if you like, you can give me a call, you know, once the show's over, and I'll talk to you about this. I know it's probably very upsetting for you to have to plead with this or whatever, but if this is what your lawyer thinks is the best thing for you to do, then, you know, maybe you need to take his advice, right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you a question. I mean, was there any other way, any possibility not to go to jail?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you can fight it. You can go to trial. But the problem is that maybe, you know, it's even worse. I don't know what the evidence against you is. I mean, I don't know if there's physical evidence or, you know, what she said. I mean, there are a lot of different factors. But I got to tell the guys out there, you know, this is a crime of strict liability, which means that if the woman lied to you, even if she showed you a fake ID and said that she was 18 or 19, it turns out she wasn't, she was underage, you're still responsible for that. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
So you got to really watch your step when it comes to a woman that, you know, you're not sure how old she is. Because if she turns out to be 15 or 16, and you, Tom, you've said this 100 times, there's no way a woman has sex and doesn't tell everybody.
No.
So she's going to tell her mother and her friends and, you know, it's going to get back. And someone's going to call the cops, as apparently happened to you.
That's right.
So give me a call off the air. We'll talk about it some more.
All right, I'll...
do you have a number?
We're going to hook you up. Dean is going to set you up with Adam. All right? And good luck, Alex.
Jeez, Tom, that's bad.
All right, we're going to take one more break here. When we come back, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. And we even have a couple of calls after that. So don't go anywhere.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. In the bonus hour, which has led into some overtime here. And Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free. 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check me out on Facebook or online at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, which I love, and I answer them personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. Here we go. We got more calls for Adam here.
Great.
It just keeps going. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. Here's Brandon in Seattle. Brandon, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Adam.
What's up, Brandon?
Pleasure to speak to both of you.
Thanks.
Well, before I get to my question, I wanted to bring up this about the whole prostitution thing and looking under Backpage ads and whatnot.
Okay.
Now, I used to be, I'll be honest, I used to be in that hobby, but I quit that a long time ago. I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. I didn't want to put myself out there anymore.
Okay.
But I noticed that you have your you have the lowest chances of getting in a sting if you generally deal with a chick that has been on at Backpage or whatever a certain amount of times, as well as being over 30.
Oh, okay.
Like when I was on there looking for Poon, I would never contact any chick under 30. Just wouldn't do it. I know. I can imagine Tom just cringing right now. But that is
well, 30 isn't so bad. Come on.
Oh yeah, 30.
Well, like, I mean, 90,
I
guess, you know.
40 year old too. I mean, hey, I got a thing for older chicks, so it's a turn on for me. But if it's not your thing, then I don't recommend it.
No, but that is interesting.
But anyway,
so the fact is, you've seen her consistently, right? And she's a little more mature. So you presume that she's been doing it for a longer time and it's not some setup.
Well, generally, yeah. That's what, I mean, that's basically how I did things.
It makes sense to me.
Just stuck with a few regulars.
And you stay, and regulars, so you're like a regular client of hers, so you kind of know her after a while. I mean, you definitely stay away from the street ones, right? That's what I was emphasizing.
Oh, yeah. And I've been on Aurora many times. Seattle has so many streetwalkers.
Really?
On Aurora. Yeah, you could just
Aurora?
You could just drive or walk down the street and you could just count the hookers. It was that obvious.
If that's known to be in something in Seattle or whatever, it's just sickening that they don't just make it legal, for God's sake. Why are we kidding around about this?
Right. They always try to label it as trafficking, like human trafficking
right.
or sexual exploitation.
Right.
Now, granted, that does happen. It's wrong, and I'll never ever condone that. But still, there's a lot of women out there who have made the conscious choice to do it. Now,
well, it seems to me that there would be less exploitation if it was legal. That's the thing.
Yeah, that too. But anyway, this is my question.
Sure.
So, now this is something I actually saw like a few days ago. And there was a fake parlor just set up by the police Now, it was like called Euro something, and of course they had a back page ad, and I never went there because, you know, I quit the hobby a long time ago. I don't want anything else to do with it. So I was watching the video, and they had the steak parlor set up. I believe it was in the University District, and they were set, and they were intentionally leading guys in, and event, essentially trying to get them arrested. Now, they did right. bust a bunch of guys. A lot of them were software engineers, IT people. I believe at least one of them was a CEO, maybe a couple of CEOs. I think one was also a lawyer.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, now, I understand that the cops are just doing their job, but seriously, now, wouldn't that be considered entrapment itself? Because what if somebody was just walking down the street and just said, hey, I guess I could use a massage after a hard day of work, because there's, let's say there's a building nearby that's that's under construction. You got a construction worker who is back at store after doing all that heavy lifting. You decide to go in and get a massage, and they try to pin something on him which he wasn't really bargaining for. Now, would that be considered entrapment?
Yeah, I agree with you. It sounds like entrapment to me. It's creating a crime that didn't exist. But the problem is that, again, like I said, we got this puritanical streak in the United States, and they're going to try to say, well, you know, we got to clean up the neighborhood to protect children, and we don't want this kind of stuff and all the crime it brings and blah, 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 right? So somehow they let it slide. And this poor construction worker who had a sore back ends up getting his life ruined for no particular reason.
Right, and it would be devastating if he was married and had kids, and he was just a loyal family man who just wanted to get a back massage.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, good luck, Brandon. Thank you, George in Santa Monica. You're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Tom, Adam, what's up?
Hey, George.
Not much.
I love your little hook for Adam. Man, that's cool. Hammer time. Anyway.
I think it was Dino's idea.
I was just listening to this whole thing, and I remember something that happened to me in the 90s.
Okay.
Very late 90s. I was a friend of mine who had to get out of his place for like a week or 2 weeks because, you know, something was going on at his apartment. Was staying at a hotel in the valley on Sepulveda Boulevard.
Okay.
And streetwalkers back then, I don't know if they still are, I don't live in the valley anymore, but were a big problem back then on Sepulveda Boulevard, especially north of Oxnard, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm visiting my buddy, and you know, there was a market right next door. And I was like, hey, man, let's get something to eat. And I was going to go get some food for us. I walk out, and I was kind of on the second floor. I could see in the back of this little market and the whole, like, shopping center, a car with, you know, with two guys in it. And I'm thinking, oh, that's got to be an undercover police car.
Okay.
So I walk up out basically onto Sepulveda to go next door to go to the market. And who greets me as I get on the street? This the hottest looking black woman I've ever seen in my life.
There you go.
And I'm just like, no.
Well, that's
no
suspicious
way.
Already,
just
right?
To engage me and I'm sorry.
That's suspicious. A really hot streetwalker, you know. She has
the
teeth.
Anybody who lived in the valley at that time or lives in the valley know what's walking on Sepulveda.
Right.
It's just like this. You know, this just wasn't happening. I was just. She was trying to engage me in conversation and whatnot, and I had already gotten, you know, the jump on her, and I just said, you know what, honey, you know, you're good looking, you just have a great night. You know, it was a Friday night, actually, and I just said, you know, have a great weekend.
Very nice.
And she was just, she seemed surprised that, you know, that I said that, and I was just like, and it just, I guess, goes to what you guys are talking about, how they're just trying to set people up,
right,
you know, and entrap them. But that's so fucked up, though. Well, I still don't understand why today.
Yeah, but see, you could have talked to her, and you still would have been okay, as long as you don't get involved in this very specific conversation, sex for money. And the more she's trying to get you into that conversation, the more suspicious you should be. You see?
You know what? She actually was pretty hot. I got to be honest. But you know, at that point,
maybe she liked you. Who knows?
Dinner for myself and my buddy.
So you should have said to her, "Look, I'd like to ask you out." You know.
And George, thank you so much. I got one more here. Gary in Seattle, say hi to Adam Sachs.
Hello, Tom and Adam.
Hey, hi. Gary, what's up?
Hey, I have a whole mess of stuff going on here, and I'm trying to figure out how to get out, how to work my way through the hoop so I can get back on my feet again.
Okay.
But the, I guess I'll start with the most simple one, with somebody I'd known for a long time and bought my car back in January of 14 and ended up stealing it. And I got 4 parking tickets because I was trying to get a hold of the police and through different ways to get my car back. And in the meantime, I went to court and I handled the 4 parking tickets.
Okay.
But there was a screw-up. I got 2 thrown out and 2 reduced, and I didn't find out until like 7 months later when the tabs expired that one of them had gone to collections anyway.
Okay.
So I've been stuck trying to figure out how to resolve that issue. And it's
you're talking about parking tickets?
Yeah, when the car wasn't in my possession.
All right. Well, your friend stole your car. You're not responsible for tickets when your car's stolen.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out because I've been trying to call and get all the parking tickets pulled out, but I always run into walls when it comes to talking to customer service and different ways of doing it, I guess.
All right.
Well, you could certainly use an attorney.
Yeah, and then I have 2 other ones pending that I was also stuck behind stuff like I had a hearing my public defender was late, and I'm trying to handle.
Public defenders don't care. People have got to understand that, you know. When you tell me he came late, that doesn't surprise me at all, you know.
Yeah, they seem to be overwhelmed and too much stuff going on, so
they get lost in the thousands shuffle. Of cases, and they're absolutely overwhelmed.
And
that's
they make
true.
Hundreds of mistakes, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's nothing personal. They've got you and a million other cases.
Yeah.
So what's your question?
Well, I guess I can talk to him on a private...
Sure.
I mean, basically, I'm all caught up with... because they changed the law, apparently, in the last few years from a 7-year clean record to an 8-year clean record, and I had 2 different arrested while parked in my car.
Yeah.
One was in front of my house. They're, for instance, extending my... Well, I didn't find out from the court, but then I found out a year later when the DOL said they were going to use what happened over 7 years ago against me. And
that's very strange.
A whole other 5 years of interlocking the car and all this other stuff like that.
From a DUI?
It was physical control, but that case back, it was in July of 2007. The police were already at an intersection, and they had a... somebody who had passed out behind the wheel because there was a big occasion going on in the neighborhood at that time. And so,
crazy.
So what happened was they had been doing a bunch of road work, so the pavement was only partially done. They hadn't finished painting it or anything. So I was basically going 1/10 of a mile home, which I had moved into the area and wasn't used to walking yet. That's basically what happened. So I when I went to this one stoplight that turned red, because I was only a block away from home, the police officer flagged me down from the parking lot where they were dealing with this other dude. And so, to make a long story short, I got arrested at the same time as the passed out dude.
Crazy.
And they stuck me in the truck.
This is from 2007, right?
Yeah. So
all right. So
I'm
looking at this guy passed out the whole time. Call me after the show. We'll go over all this, okay?
All right.
This is starting to sound complicated.
We'll set you up. We'll set you up with
that. That was sounding pretty intense, Tom.
All right, Adam, one last time, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Call me toll-free, 800-340-7320.
There we go. Adam Sachs, if you missed any part of Adam, he'll be back. Another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show is coming up Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3-1-3- is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary's Dino.
Yeah.
In Mississippi, a woman has pleaded guilty to charges she had unnatural intercourse with a dog.
Is that what they call it?
Unnatural intercourse. Yes. Apparently, the sheriff's office there was investigating a photo that had been circulated in the county. He says that the says the broad admitted to having sex with more than one animal.
Did she smear peanut butter on her foo-foo? What did she do here?
Details not available at this time.
Oh, I'll be looking for that.
I wonder if Tom will say that on Friday night.
No, I will not be saying that. Absolutely not.
She was given a 10-year suspended sentence, 5 years probation, in order to register as a sex offender.
Would you admit
keep
that
the peanut butter out of the house?
Would you admit she's not that bad, considering the situation?
Considering she's a dog fucker?
Yeah. I'm saying, like, I expected, like, a lot worse, and I got this.
Right. Huh. Yeah, well, there you have it. Can't judge a book by its cover.
Oh, my. Is she hot looking?
I'm not going to go that far, but I'm saying, okay.
By the way, it's not even alleged.
She pled guilty. She did it.
Right.
So you would expect, looking at this woman, you'd expect kind of somebody who'd be a dog fucker to look,
like,
well,
a dog fucker.
Like a dog fucker.
Now, my question to you, Dave, would you do someone
who did a dog?
Look, he's hesitating.
Well, she's hot.
He's hesitating.
Well, not with this one, but I'm just trying to think of examples.
Not this one.
Of examples
so
of ones
she's not attractive enough. So, in other words, for you to fuck someone who'd been fucked by their dog, they'd have to meet a certain minimum standard of attractiveness.
Yeah. I mean,
and then you'd do them.
Alessandra Ambrosio, I'm not saying she did it but, at
one
all.
One of yours, by the way.
Definitely did not.
No, I think she's one of those South American ones that I got checked.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't count.
Right.
Again. Who's the guy from the Spurs? He has a big bald spot. That guy from South America.
What are you talking about?
Oh, Manu Ginobili.
Yeah, that sounds like a Waparu, but he's not really.
No, he is.
Oh, is he a Waparu?
He's a
Waparu
from Argentina.
Oh.
He's played on the Italian basketball team.
And he has not fucked dogs.
No.
Let's not confuse.
Okay, let's go back to Alessandra Ambrosio.
And either is she. She has not fucked dogs.
No,
either.
I said that. But if she did, the question is would that is the caliber that I'd have to. Yeah.
Okay. But you would go there.
Oh,
after,
she is
after
Italian,
the dog.
So yeah.
After the dog.
After the dog,
go.
I'd probably follow up just to hit that.
Would the dog use a condom? That's what I'd want to
do. Would you require a thorough washing of the vaginas, or what would you do?
Well, I mean, the thought of dog jizz would really freak me the fuck out. So you're probably right. I wouldn't be able to perform, probably. Because I was thinking about that. We should talk about this on Friday night.
This will
definitely fly.
Throw Dino a bone.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Like, my goodness.
Like the dog that he is.
A bone.
Jesus.
Give the dog a bone.
Amazing situation.
Sorry.
And another one of these situations where a 23-year-old man, faked that he was of high school age and actually went to classes and banged 15-year-old girls until he was found out.
Until he was busted.
How did they figure out he wasn't 15?
It always eventually happens.
Yeah.
You know, something in the story finally gives you up. This happened in a Pennsylvania high school.
Yep. And I guess
the dude's Ukrainian, so it's sort of like probably got lost in the Ukrainian mix there, and finally they figured it out.
And this guy was like, he was like seriously like a do-gooder and all this stuff. He did like amazing stuff at the high school and was friends with everybody, and he was just a little bit older. He said.
Right. I mean, there's lots of like littler guys that could pull this off, you know?
Yeah. We know a few.
Right.
I bet that dude would love to go back to school.
Right, back to school. Like Rodney Dangerfield. That's
right.
Fantastic. There's plenty more news for guys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Well, I mean, the thought of dog jizz would really freak me the fuck out, so...